He's been so good to me. Yes, He has. How
do you have some praise left to give the Lord? I guess the question is, how great is He to you? Why don't we express what the Lord means to us for just a moment? How great Thou art. Come on, let's express what the Lord means to us. Come on, God is greater than anything that He's created. I said God is greater than anything that He's created. He's greater than your darkness. He's greater than your difficulty. He's greater than your distress. Hallelujah. He's greater than the storm. He's stronger than the wind. I'm telling you, we serve a God that has all power in heaven and in earth and beneath the earth. And He's made Himself accessible and available to you and I. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I said, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Woo, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Some men have riches and treasures and boats and cars and they know a lot of people and they have a great name, but I'm telling you, we have a great God. We have a wonderful Savior. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have someone that said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am the God that healeth thee. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Why don't you clap your hands if you're confident that He's with you? Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody just needs to pray in the Holy Ghost. God. Oh yes, there's a heavenly window open right now, and the blessings of the Lord are coming down. Ooh, Jesus, I feel like praising Him. You don't have to play. I feel like praising Him. I must praise Him in the morning, praise Him all day long. Right now, I feel like praising Him. And I feel like serving Him. Oh, I feel like serving Him. Come on, I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to serve Him in the morning and serve Him all day long. I feel. Well, how you feel right now? Oh, hallelujah. The devil don't like it 'cause my mind is stayed on Jesus. Well, the devil, he don't like it 'cause my mind is stayed on Jesus. Stayed on Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I've decided to sell my coffin. I said I'm determined that I'm going to sell my coffin and live on, because in Him I live and move and have my being. Woo! I'm just rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. For He has made my soul glad. It's good that you're here tonight. And it's good that I'm here. At least I'm glad of it. Amen. Just touch my hand. You see that? A spirit hath not flesh and bone. Everybody look to somebody else and say, I'm a human being. And all flesh is grass. Some grass is stronger than others. Taller, broader, the blades. Now, I've said that for a reason. Is because I'm not just a preacher. I'm a human being. And I go through what you go through. I feel sometimes what you feel. And I'm glad we're all, or we're not all in the same place at the same time. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord always provides for us. In every situation, God will provide for you. It may not come in the package that you prefer. In fact, God may not deliver you today, but if He could help you discover things about Him, if He can help develop you into the man and woman of God you need to be, then He may just let you stay in there a while. And if it weren't for the fish in the midst of the sea, Jonah would have drowned. But he was developed instead. And he come to the greatest revelations in the belly of hell. Amen. Well, thank you for praying for me. Thank you, my sister, my mama. I have many mamas here tonight. And I know that you have prayed for me and my wife and my family. And I am very appreciative of that. And I prayed, I think, today and asked the Lord that he would reward those that have sent prayers up on my behalf and on behalf of my wife. She is still a very broken soul, even physically. Her body is deteriorated, and it's very difficult to talk about, but God has proven to me that his grace is sufficient. I read it in the Bible many years ago, but the Lord has proven to me that his grace is sufficient. Praise God. And he is carrying us. And by his grace, I stand here tonight. I told the Lord, I said, it's very difficult to minister to people and to preach and to speak and to help others when I'm so preoccupied with my own emotions and stress and difficulty. But I have an assignment tonight, and I have a word from the Lord. And it is heavy on my heart, and I hope that it's received well, not by the word or the work of flesh, but from the word and the work of God. I want to begin reading in, turn your attention rather to the book of Exodus chapter 25, and Pastor has announced that this month, the month of March, will be a month of intimacy with the Word of God. And the Word is so powerful. And so we're going to try to share some things that's hopefully going to make an impact in your life. And if you don't feel it's for you, then just shout anyway. And we'll just rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. And we'll be unified together. Before I read Exodus 25 in verse 37, I'll say this, that in the book of Exodus, this is after their deliverance, the Lord begins to speak to Moses and he commands him. Now we know that he had instructed him to erect a tabernacle there, a sanctuary. And there are dimensions there, and there are different aspects of the tabernacle that's detailed in Scripture. But I want to focus on just a small part that has a huge difference in the tabernacle overall, and that is the candlestick. God commanded Moses to make a candlestick of pure gold, and it was to be placed in the holy place of the tabernacle. And of course, that's the same room where the bread and the altar of incense was located. So Exodus chapter 25 and verse 37, we'll read one verse and then we'll let you seat yourself. Exodus 25 and 37, I don't think we have a computer tonight, so you'll just have to trust that I'm quoting from the Scripture. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof. Everybody say lamps. Look at somebody and say lamps. He's talking about lamps. And they shall light the lamps thereof. Everybody say light the lamps. That they may give light. Everybody say give light. Everybody say the lamp is to give light. And the scripture says over against it, which means this light is to reflect and shine forth. And so tonight, if I can put a title to the message that the Lord has given to me to share, and it's not just for you, but it's for me as well. I'm just a receptacle. I've received it, and if you can plug in to what the Spirit is saying, you'll receive it also. Everybody say, the light must not go out. Everybody say, the light must never go out. Let's pray again for this part of the service. Come on, we're going to enter into the ministry of the Holy Ghost. I feel His power. I feel the life of God. Oh, my Father, Lord Jesus, send forth Your word. Oh, send the light. Send the light of truth into this place. Let our eyes be opened, and let our ears be opened. And may we see and hear the word of truth tonight from the very throne of grace. Bless my brother, my friend, my sister who is here tonight and those who may be visiting for the first time. I pray that You would also allow them to feel and to experience Your wonderful presence, Lord. Oh God, that You have planted in the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I submit myself to the hearing of the Word of God, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now clap your hands if you anticipate and believe that God will send His Word into your heart. I want you to grab somebody by the hand and say, I pray that you will receive what God has come to declare. I pray that you will receive what God has come to declare, and it will help you and minister to you and bring understanding to you and to those under your care. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and thou shalt make seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it, or reflect their light forward. Everybody say lamp. Everybody say light. It was in the holy place. And David said in 2 Samuel 22 and 29, for thou, O Lord, art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Say it with me. So, for thou art my lamp, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. And Psalms 119 and 105 says, thy word is a lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Say, His word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. And Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp. Say, the commandment is a lamp. And the law is light. And reproofs of instructions are the way of life. And then we read in the New Testament when Jesus quoted and he declared, he said, I am the light of the world. Everybody say, he is the light of the world. You know, I think that God is so wonderful and so considerate and so powerful, and he has so much light in himself that he would create a sun just to light my world. And he would cause me to orbit. I said he would cause you and I to orbit, amen, on a continual basis, so that we will never be completely without access to the sun, to the light, to the power, to the energy. So I'm declaring unto you that no matter where you are, you have access to light. You have access to power. You have access to heaven's energy. And everybody declare, I need the light. God is so considerate that he would send light unto the world. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everybody say, Jesus is the light of the world. You can clap. I think he's worthy. I think he's worthy. And so we return to our story. We have the candlestick of pure gold. We have one candlestick fashioned to the foundation of that tabernacle. We have the seven lamps. Everybody say, the seven lamps. And it is there, and it gives light, so that the priests that enter in do not walk in darkness. For without light, you don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. You don't know who you are. And you don't know who you worship. Everybody say, I'm glad that I know the light. And I know who I worship. For they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Everybody say, we're here tonight because we worship our Father in spirit and in truth. And so here the priests are. They are entering into that holy place. And they have access to the bread. The 12 loaves are placed upon a table. A wooden table. I believe it was overlaid with gold. God don't want to just throw his bread. He wants to present his bread to you and I. And I feel that God has placed some bread upon the shoulders of the priest. And we're going to take the bread into the world so that the world can have access to the bread of life. Didn't Jesus say, I am the bread of life? I am the bread which came from heaven. And of course, we're not going to go into detail about the bread of life, but I'm telling you, you need the bread. And so in that room, there is the altar of incense, and we believe that that represents prayer, praise, worship, and we offer that to the Lord. But you're not going to partake of the bread, and you're not going to burn the incense upon that altar unless there's first light in the house. There has to be light in the sanctuary. Amen. And furthermore, the light reveals the way into the Holy of Holies. I said the light reveals, it points to the way into the third dimension, into the place of intimacy with God. The light shows the way into the Holy of Holies. The light, ladies and gentlemen, will lead you and guide you into all the truth. It was the light on that mountainside, and we call it a star. And without that star, not even the wisest of men could find Jesus. Everybody say, we need light to point the way to Jesus, into the Holy of Holies. And we know the only way to get into the Holy of Holies is through the blood of the Lamb. Light conquers darkness. Light illuminates. It brings clarity. It brings definition. It brings revelation. Everybody say, the light brings truth. Where there's no light, there is present darkness. Where there is no light, there is confusion. When there is no light, there is fear. When there is no light, people begin to stumble and fall. When there is no light, there is a lack of proper perception and vision. Everybody shout, we need the light. And if you read in the book of Exodus, chapter 27, verses 20, and thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure olive oil, or pure oil, olive beaten for the light. Everybody say, they were commanded to bring oil. The oil that come from the olives. And the reason why they were commanded to bring the oil into that place, what the Bible says, to cause the lamp to burn always. Everybody say, the oil is for the lamp. Shout, the oil is to keep the light on. And if there's no oil, then it's only a matter of time before the lamp goes out and the light begins to dim. But I'm glad tonight that I'm in a sanctuary, hallelujah, that has a supply of oil, enough oil to keep the lamp shining and the light bright and giving glory and honor to our Lord and Savior. And so this was pure oil of pressed olives. It had to be brought into that holy place both morning and evening. The Bible describes and details and says that the priest had to dress the lamps morning and evening. They had to trim it. They had to replenish the oil. And the oil came from olives, hear me now, that were first collected. Everybody say, they were collected. How do you think you got here? You were selected. God handpicked you. Amen. He has called you. I said, he has called you. You don't even know why you're here, but God knows why you're here, because he is sovereign and he has called you. Now, he may have called you and used somebody to speak that to you, but we are simply an extension. We carry the voice of the Lord. Did not John the Baptist say, I'm just a voice of one that is crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. God has put a word in me, and I've come to declare his voice unto you. And the oil is so that the lamps will continue to burn and shine. The oil came from olives that were first collected. They were picked. They were gathered. Everybody say, they were gathered. Aren't you glad we have a little gathering tonight, Brother Kelly? We're not by ourselves. God has gathered us. Everybody say, thirdly, they were washed. Before you start squeezing the olives, you got to wash them. You never know, there may be some contaminants upon those olives. And they may have a little soil from their situation. And so they have to be washed. And after they're washed, they have to be pressed. Everybody say, pressed. So that's the most difficult thing. That's the most uncomfortable thing to undergo is the crushing and the pressing of those olives. This, of course, was done intentionally and meticulously in order to get pure, untainted oil. The flesh of the olive had to be squeezed in order to secrete or excrete the oil. It's one thing to have oil. It's another thing to let it flow and let it be released in and through your life. Amen. We are all made of flesh. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take it a step further. The oil symbolizes the anointing. Everybody say the oil. It symbolizes the anointing, God's enabling, God's empowerment, God's endowment, which gives us unction. Everybody say unction. Look at somebody and say unction. Look at them and tell them you need oil. You need oil in your life. Come on, look at them firmly and say you need oil in your life. You need more than just a Sunday experience. You need more than just a Thursday prayer meeting. You need oil every day that you live. You need a fresh unction of the Holy Ghost to empower what you call Christianity. And oil symbolizes the anointing that comes from God. Exodus chapter 40 and verses 9 says, everything in the house was anointed. Take the anointing oil, he said. Anoint the whole tabernacle and all of its furnishings to consecrate them and to make them holy. And after this, in verses 12 and 13, the priests were washed. Everybody say they were washed. And after they were washed, they were anointed with oil. Say the whole tabernacle was anointed. Say all of the furniture was anointed. Even the bread was anointed. And the priest had to be anointed also. Why don't you clap your hands if you believe in the power of the oil and the necessity of the anointing. And if the lamp, everybody say the lamp. The light of God, the truth of God, the word of God. If it's going to shine continually in this world and in your life as an individual, we must have unfailing oil. I want you to raise your hands for just a moment. Close your eyes and free yourself of any and every distraction. God is sending his word. I am not here to perform. I am here to declare unto you what God is saying now. He is saying you need not just the lamp, but you need the oil so that the lamp does not go out. I need the oil. And I have to bring the oil with my vessel into that holy place. In the presence of God. And I have to make sure that the lamp does not go out in my life. And 1 John chapter 2 verses 20 and verse number 27 says it like this. But ye, and he's speaking to the body of Christ, those who have been filled with the Holy Ghost, he says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. And ye know or have knowledge of all things. Everybody say, we need an unction. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you know it, say, I have an unction in me that wants to come forth, that wants to break out, that wants to get through the flesh of this olive, that wants to touch my world, that wants to bring light into my darkness. And God is the supplier of the anointing. I said, God has supplied enough oil for everybody in the church and those who are on their way in the church. And verse 27 says, but the anointing which you have received of him, it abides in you. Say the anointing. It abides. It remains in me. Now you can say me. If you have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, which is evidenced by speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. Would you clap unto the Lord if you really appreciate what God has done in your life thus far? Come on, just clap your hands and rejoice if you know God's done a good work in your life. Come on and praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him if you know the Lord's done a good work in your life. The oil is not used for personal or selfish gain or benefit. The oil was not given to us to make us look good. It wasn't given to us for our glory, but for His. And the anointing was put within us for ministry and for service and to do the works of our Father. Hallelujah. I said the anointing is not for us, but it will work in us to minister and to save and to revive and to resurrect and to declare and to demonstrate and to prophesy and to operate and to function and to be like our dad. The anointing enables us to declare and demonstrate the truth. Everybody say, we need to declare and we need to demonstrate the truth. There needs to be a manifestation of the truth of God and the power of God in our world today. And God is depending on you and I because He has supplied the oil that we need to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. The anointing empowers us to speak of Him and to speak by Him. And to show Him, to reveal Him, to reflect Him. Everybody say, we need to reflect the light. The world needs the light. If the world doesn't receive the light, they will continue to abide in darkness. In fact, the Bible says if you hate your brother, you abide in darkness. If you are in, you know what I'm saying? If you hate your brother, then the scripture says you abide in darkness. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Say, we need to walk in the light as He is in the light. If we're going to have fellowship and if we're going to be cleansed, we've got to walk in the light. It's just like that bush in Exodus chapter number 2. That bush caught the attention of that man Moses. After 40 years, he's in the desert. There's nothing happening. God is not speaking to him. But 40 years, and then all of a sudden, he's tending to the sheep. And then all of a sudden, he sees a bush, and this bush is on fire. And the Bible says, he looked to see what this great sight is. I'm telling you, the fire, the light, the glory of God, it will captivate, it will capture, it will arrest the attention of those who are wandering around in a wilderness with no direction. I'm telling you, we need the light. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. And he looked, he turned aside to see what this great sight was. And as he began to approach this strange phenomena, this supernatural phenomena, he looked. And there was a voice. There was a voice that spoke to him out of the midst of the bush. And you know the rest of the story. The Lord began to reveal himself, reveal his plan for Moses and for his people. God's looking for a bush. God's looking for somebody that's planted. Hallelujah. I said God is looking for somebody that's planted. Somebody who has roots in the soil. Hallelujah. This wasn't just some tumbleweed. It was a bush that was planted. And because it was planted, it had oil in it. And because of the oil, it was able to burn and not be consumed. It didn't just burn up, but it was a fire that continued to rage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the way the Christian life should be. From generation to generation, the light needs to shine. The light needs to shine. There's got to be oil in your vessel. Oil in your vessel. I'm glad that God sent His word. God sent His word to the earth. and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Everybody say, He sent the lamp into the world. Light has come into this world. Are you still hearing right now? Let me take a break here. Everybody say, I'm still human. Can I catch my breath? I don't preach much now, so I got to pace myself. I got to be paced in His grace. I thought of something yesterday. I thought it was pretty cool. God has a solution for our pollution. It's kind of catchy, but I think there's some understanding to be gathered. We are the church, born again people, born of the water and born of the Spirit. If you have never been born again of the water and of the Spirit, ask someone before you leave. And I pray that God will speak through them and give you understanding and knowledge. But we as the church, born again people, are referred to in the book of Romans chapter 11 as the wild olive tree. And you know as well as I that an olive tree produces olives. And the oil that is in the tree is also in the olives. Everybody say, the oil in the tree is also in the olives. And of course, if you read Romans chapter 11, we're just the wild olive tree, but we've been grafted in. Everybody say, we've been grafted in. In Acts chapter, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I wrote some things here. I don't know what all is necessary to say or not. The Bible is so full and so rich. But God was in Christ, spirit and flesh. God tabernacled Himself. God incarnate. God robed in flesh. Scripture says God was in flesh. He was reconciling the world unto Himself. He used flesh. He used humanity to reunite, to regain what He lost in the garden. And of course, just as Jesus was the Word made flesh, we who are born again of water and our spirit are now His body. And just as His flesh was subjected to deity, His flesh had to be crushed and bruised, as we read in Isaiah and as the New Testament describes, we also must be crushed and bruised. Now let me help you understand that. I'm not saying done away with. I'm talking about self-denial. I'm talking about self-denial. One reason why you're not so on fire like perhaps you could be is because you have not denied yourself. There's areas of yourself that you have just let go and just do whatever, think whatever, act however you want to act, go wherever you want to go. And because of that, you do not reveal His glory. You do not manifest His truth. You may declare it, but you're not demonstrating the truth. Amen. I believe it was Paul who said that my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was with demonstration of the Spirit and power. We need to demonstrate the Spirit. That means we need to demonstrate God. We need to make known publicly God. What is He like? What is He about? What is He up to? What is He thinking? I don't know if you understand, but I've come here to let you know that God wants to be made known. He wants to be manifested. He wants to show the world who He is. I wonder who He's going to use. I wonder who He's going to use to declare His glory. I wonder who He's going to use to manifest His truth. I wonder if He's going to use you. That's not a trick question. I'm trying to provoke your thought. his flesh was subjected to deity, to the rule of the Spirit, then we must also. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I want you to just close your eyes for just a moment. And just gently either raise your hand and stretch it forth. There's somebody in your path right now that you need to declare and you need to speak it out right now. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And speak this and say, you need the Holy Ghost. I know you received the Holy Ghost many years ago, but you need the Holy Ghost now. You need the Holy Ghost right in your situation. You're going through some dark times and some difficulty and some distress, and you need the Holy Ghost now, and you need his power now. And you shall be witnesses unto me. The word witness means either one who gives evidence, and also it means a martyr. A martyr is someone who gives their life. Hello? The olive has to give his life if there's going to be oil. You've got to subject your humanity to the power and the character of deity. If the world is going to behold his glory, then you've got to become a martyr. You've got to lay down your life so that his life can shine through you. Oh, clap your hands. The oil affects your witness and your testimony. I have way too much information, obviously. But the oil does affect your testimony. You know, when we have a very difficult and hard time witnessing, what we call witnessing and testifying, it's not because we lack oil. No. Because the scripture says the anointing abides in you. My elder taught me that. May have been a year or two ago. I don't know. It's in the Bible. But he preached and it was opened up to me. The anointing doesn't come and go. I didn't come here just to be anointed. The anointing was already in me when I woke up this morning. I just had to get flesh out of the way so that the anointing could work in my life and through my life. I had to exercise self-denial and press the flesh of this little olive that's hanging on the olive tree so that there can be a flow of the oil in my life. You shall receive power. You'll be witnesses unto me. Everybody say, the oil affects your witness. The oil affects your testimony. If you want a powerful testimony, you can just say, God delivered me. Now, I know you declared that with your mouth, but if you got oil working in your life, when you say, God delivered me, it's going to touch somebody. Huh? If you tell somebody, I've been delivered from drugs and alcohol. I used to be this, but I'm no longer that. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you don't have to raise your voice if you got oil in your lamp. I said, you don't even have to thunder your voice if you've got oil and that oil is flowing in your life. And the reason why it's not flowing like it could be flowing is because the flesh is not broke yet. The flesh has not been denied yet. Everybody say, my flesh gets in the way. But the anointing will sanction ministry. It will enable you, it will empower you to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Let me get a musician up here so we can just kind of close this out. The anointing will enable you to recover the sight of the blind and set at liberty them that are bruised. So that's some big problems. Look at somebody and say, there's a lot of problems in this world today.
But if you're Holy Ghost filled, I want you to say, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I'm anointed to preach this gospel. I'm going to say something right here. I've said this a few times only, and I run it by my elders just to check and make sure I was on the right page, God's page. I personally believed, now don't make a doctrine out of this, but I personally believe, Sister Alberta, that if you are a Holy Ghost filled person, that you can experience and perhaps will experience at least one time in your life a call, a unction, a burden, a inspiration to preach the gospel. I didn't figure I'd get a whole lot of amens. Do you remember what happened last service when we had that little testimony service? They were testifying all right. But they were testifying because they had oil. And the oil gave them unction to preach their testimony. Hello? And they don't just have a testimony. They are a testimony. God doesn't just, he done something for me a long time ago. God's doing something in my life right now. I had a testimony. I have a testimony. And I am a testimony. We need the oil to bring life to our testimony. We need to preach, proclaim, declare what God has done in our lives. I'm trying to exercise restraint. I just feel a surge of Holy Ghost power and life in my spirit. It's all I can do not to talk in tongues. The only reason I'm not talking in tongues right now is so that I can speak and you understand. God wants you to understand who He is and what He's made available for your Christianity. Come on, just throw your hands up in the air. The Spirit-filled church does not lack anointing. I hate when people say, well, we need more anointing. How much more anointing you need than Christ Himself? Christ is the Anointed One. And if the Anointed One is in His proper place, there will be miracles. There will be apostolic ministry. We will hear His voice. We will speak His word if Christ is in His place in your life. I just got to praise Him for just... Let me close here. I've got too much information, but I've got to find a place to stop, so that you can continue when you leave here. The Spirit-filled church doesn't lack anointing. However, we tend to lack spiritual disciplines that allow the anointing to operate and flow in us and from us. Too much flesh paraded. Too much vainglory. If the light isn't shining, it may be because there's a lack of self-denial, a lack of conquered carnality, a lack of continual perpetual worship. I don't just worship on Sunday, but I am a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. I've been broken. I've cried out to God. I felt like I was going to lose my mind, but God led me. God provided for me. And if you didn't encourage me, I learned to encourage myself in the Lord. The light doesn't need to go out in your life and in your family. Somebody's got to keep the light burning. There may be a lack of praying in the Spirit. I probably need to pray in the Spirit more, but I feel like I pray in the Spirit nearly every day. Pray in the Holy Ghost. building myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The reason why the anointing is inhibited and prohibited, it's there, but it's just not flowing, is because some of you are quenching the Spirit. Sometimes we even grieve the Spirit. He's wanting to intercede for the saints, and we just keep our mouths shut. But I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. I just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody sent me a message and said, "You were on my mind. Do you need anything?" I said, "Well, the best thing for you to pray, son, is pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray according to the mind of Christ, because I don't know what I need. I just know I want Him. I desire Him. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Help me keep the light on." There are things that prevent the oil and thereby prohibit the light from shining. Let's all stand. Some things we just need to put away because there's no fresh flow, there's no anointing being secreted from our lives, enabling us to live the life we need to live and speak the truth in this untoward generation. We must put away and remove and conquer what I would call light blockers. You know, we call it sunblock. Well, there are things in this world that block light, prohibit light from being absorbed, because if it cannot be received, it cannot be given. You cannot give what you have not first received. That's why people must receive the love of God if they're going to give the love of God. You got to receive the peace of God if you're going to speak the peace of God. You can't speak and live and demonstrate what's not in you. It's got to be in you first. Everybody say, the oil needs to be in you, not just on you. We need to put things away such as fear, unbelief, doubt, unforgiveness, carnal mindedness, pride, laziness, lack of intimacy. Put away irreverence, lust, worldliness, disobedience, and we have to overcome discouragement. Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." The next verse says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor," that means harsh words, "and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." If we don't put those things away, there's no anointing going to operate in your life, and you're going to be a bored Christian. We can't afford to let the light of His glory die. We can't afford to let the light go out. You know the story in 1 Samuel, Eli the high priest. In his day, there was a lack of the influence of truth. The word of God was precious or rare. Eli was visually impaired. He was going blind. And the lamp or the light of God was beginning to fade and go out in the temple. Why? There's several reasons. One is there's a lack of oil. Matthew chapter 25 verses 1 through 12. And I'm just going to assume that you forgive me for keeping you so long. Amen. I've learned to forgive myself most of the time. Matthew chapter 25, let me just give you a quick summary. They all had lamps. Everybody say, they all had the word. They all knew the gospel. They could all quote it. They could all preach it. But the Bible says the five foolish, they didn't take no oil in their vessels. You see, the lamp is powerful in itself. The lamp, the light, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The lamp is powerful. The lamp gives light. But God's given you and I the responsibility and the accessibility to receive the light and to make sure that there's application. There's proper application so that the light does not go out. Foolish took no oil. They had the lamps. Everybody say, they had the lamps. They had the word. They could even preach. Yeah, people do it all the time. Preach the gospel, but no oil. But the word's still good. The lamp's still shining for a season. But the wise had oil in their vessels with their lamps. Everybody say they had oil in their vessel with their lamp. And there come a time they all slumbered and slept. Everybody say they all slept. And of course there's a cry, go out to meet the bridegroom. They all heard the cry. Everybody said they all heard the cry. And they all trimmed their lamps. And they all went to meet him. But when they went to meet him, the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, because our lamps are gone out. We had it for a season, and perhaps we didn't feel it was all necessary. But there's going to come a time upon planet Earth. Well, everybody that calls themselves a Christian will find out what they really are and what they really have. And I'm here to declare to you, you will not meet the bridegroom if you don't have oil in your vessel. It's not going to happen. The wise with the oil in their lamps, with their vessels in their lamps, were ready to meet him. And they went in, and the door was shut. And when the others came back, they said, Lord, Lord, open up to us. We're back. We're ready. He looked at them and said, I know you not. I don't know you. But they claimed him. They said that little prayer. They claimed that they knew him because they called him Lord. But he said, I don't know you. Ladies and gentlemen, I've spoken to you what thus saith the Lord. I've spoken to you, thus saith the Lord. And he is saying, whatever you do, don't let the light go out. Because if the light goes out, people will remain in darkness and confusion and fear. And they will never see the way into the Holy of Holies. And they will never know who I am. Come on, star. It's time for you to shine. It's time to make sure you got oil in your vessel. It's time to make sure you got oil in your vessel. It's time to make up your mind. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to follow the Lord, because I can't do it in the flesh. I've got to do it. I've got to do it in the spirit. I got to worship him in spirit and in truth. Receive the word of the Lord. It is for all of us tonight. Let's raise our hands. Amen. Raise your hands if you have believed. If you believe that you have heard the word of the Lord, and if God has spoken to you and dealt with you. Oh, I got to break the flesh. I've got to subject my humanity. I've got to bring my body under subjection so that I do not inhibit the oil, the unction. I need unction in my testimony. Hallelujah. I need the anointing in my life every day as I demonstrate Christ to my world. Father, Father, we need you. We need you. I submit to you. I submit to the word of God. I want to keep the lamp burning. I want to keep the light on, so that others can come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Through the word of my testimony, I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use. Come on, reach out to the Lord. Away.
supo no sila.
I give myself away so you can.
Come on, every day I give myself.
I give myself away.
Come on, reach out and pray for a young person. Come on, help me. Help me right now. I don't want the lamp to go out in the sanctuary. I want there to be light and glory in the sanctuary of God. Oh. Come on. There's enough oil for everybody tonight. There's enough oil for everybody tonight. Come on, you can receive the Holy Ghost right now. He'll give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him. Just ask Him. Ask Him. Lord, I need Your Spirit. Fill me with Your Spirit.
Shine through
your life.